Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. If the United States decided to take military action against Syria, there are those who suggest that could open the door to terrorist retaliation in this country. How well prepared are we to deal with such a response here? We'll talk about that in a couple of moments, but first, the city of St. Louis is now in full control of its police department for the first time since the Civil War when the state assumed oversight. What now? What does the city gain, and what, if anything, does it lose in the transition? I spoke with Jeff Rainford, Mayor Slay's chief of staff, a few moments ago and asked, what will citizens notice first with the change?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of improvement with local control, but the first thing you're going to notice is I think the police department's going to be a lot more responsive to them. You know, a few weeks ago, there was something like 120 car break-ins over a weekend. And in the past, and I'm not talking about the recent past necessarily, but in the past, whether the police department considered that a big deal or not was really up to the individual commanders. And now it'll be up to the people of St. Louis. And for instance, that weekend, you know, with local control on the horizon, that weekend there was a hue and cry about all these car break-ins. And in fact, the chief responded quickly, moved some officers off of one detail onto the car break-in detail, made a bunch of arrests, and was, you know, immediately responsive to the needs of the citizens. I think there are going to be a lot of changes that will be positive. Some of them will be more bureaucratic in nature. Make the you know, we're already combining services, fleet management, IT, legal, purchasing, things like that. It'll make the department and the city more efficient, more effective, save taxpayers money. But I think the biggest thing the citizens are going to see is the responsiveness when it comes to the mission of the department, and that is making people safe.
And is that responsiveness going to be the result of a direct line to the political leadership in the city? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's really not a line to the political leadership. It's a line to the mayor, one person. I mean, you know where the buck stops now. Before, there really, you could go to the mayor. Most people did go to the mayor, and the mayor sometimes could do some things and sometimes he couldn't. I mean, you'll remember this, but when Vince Shaman was mayor, he famously fought with Chief Camp. Freeman Bosley, when he was mayor, fought with Clarence Harmon, and Clarence Harmon, when he was mayor, didn't get along with Chief Henderson. And so if somebody went to the mayor back in those days and said, hey, do something about my neighborhood, there's too much crime here, they didn't even have a relationship where they could have that kind of a discussion. And so I do think you'll have direct accountability, and the mayor, in fact, will be able to do something about it, and chiefs will be responsive to their bosses. So I think it is a direct line to the taxpayers and a direct line to the people of St. Louis.
Isn't this somewhat risky for the mayor? Because if crime goes up, he might have to pay political consequences for that. And he doesn't have to do that now.
Well, I think that he did, though, because I don't think most people understood how the structure worked. Really, nobody even knew. No, I shouldn't say nobody. Very few voters even knew until probably the last year or two that what state control really meant. People rightly hold the mayor accountable for virtually everything that happens in a city, including lots of things that aren't his responsibility. And he can't just throw up his hands and say, hey, that's not my fault. I can't do anything about it. So I think the mayor is thrilled because he was held accountable before without having the ability, you know, the complete ability to do something about it. Sometimes he could, sometimes he couldn't. So he's actually thrilled about it. Now, will the next mayor be as thrilled about it? I don't know. But it's also not any strange thing. I mean, almost every mayor or every county executive in the country has the same accountability and has the same responsibility. So it's nothing strange, and he welcomes it.
I get the sense that a good many police officers are not thrilled about it because they are concerned that some political muscle could be used against their best interests.
Yeah, I think that you know, a lot of that is been abated, and what the mayor has said all along is, listen, give it a chance, and I actually think it will be better for police officers. I think that historically there's been a disconnect between, not a massive disconnect, but enough of a disconnect between the people of St. Louis and the police department that the police department enjoys a positive view by the public, but not as high as it ought to be. I mean, it ought to be that people are absolutely respect and love their department and willing to increase their pay or increase their pensions or give them better health care. And so I think that erasing or getting rid of that disconnect will end up being better for police officers. I mean, certainly look at the fire department. I mean, the fire union has really figured that one out, and I think that will happen for police officers. As far as I'm concerned as a citizen, they ought to get everything and get as long as we get what we want, which is every neighborhood to be safe and for every citizen to feel safe.
You mentioned pensions. That's another thing that we hear officers expressing concern about.
Yeah, in this case, clearly the cost of pensions are an issue in the city, and we're dealing with that with the fire department and to a lesser extent our civilians. The way this was set up, and we did it as a kind of a political deal so that the police officers would end up being neutral instead of against it, but the control of their pension will remain in the hands of the governor and the legislature, so the politicians in the city of St. Louis cannot change their pensions, can't cut their pensions, can't make any changes to them.
You've got some numbers, I'm sure, with regard to savings, financial savings that will come about as a result of this. What kind of numbers are we talking about?
Well, we're hoping somewhere in the neighborhood of once we – because we're going to do this through attrition, so you won't see immediate savings. But through attrition, on the civilian side only, we're hoping to $4 to $5 million a year. And some of that might be hard to itemize because we're also talking about savings on the civilian side of city government. I will tell you that the civilian operations in the police department are very, very effective. So, for instance, the IT director, the mayor, is now appointed the police department's IT director as the city's IT director because he is the best – he is the best computer guy in the city. I think it's highly likely that we may end up turning the purchasing functions over to the police department and have them run for all of city government. So you may not see all of the savings on the police department side because they're so good at some of these operations. The actual savings could be in the other city departments who turn some of their operations over to the department. Already our parks director, Gary Bess, has said that he wants the park police to be run by the police, and the city marshal is now under the control of the police. So I think that this organization, the police organization, is a very good one. And like I said, I think you're going to see some of the civilian functions of city government go over to the police side.
It's my impression that part of the whole streamlining effort is going to involve reducing the number of districts from 9 to 6, I think it is, but also that reducing the number of deputy chiefs.
Right. So what you're really looking at in both of those is reducing the number of commanders and increasing the number of police officers and sergeants who are on the street out fighting crime. And like any other organization, including the rest of city government, as the department has gotten smaller over the decades, the number of commanders has not gone down. That's the way it kind of always goes. But the number of lower level people, in this case, the number of on the street police officers and sergeants has gone down. So certainly the chief and the mayor, one of their visions is to right size that and have fewer commanders and more police officers out on the streets fighting crime, making us all safe.
Do you expect the crime rate to go down in the city as a result of this?
First of all, the crime rate has been going down for each of the last 6 years. But I do, and I think each year that goes by, it gets harder and harder to make it continue to go down. Right now, this will be the seventh straight year. Right now, we are on track to about an 8% reduction in crime. But if it doesn't make crime go down, then or at least make the kinds of crimes that make people unease and feel unsafe go down, then we've got a real problem because we've got two big issues in the city that holds us back. The city is a great place to live. It's a great place to have a visit and visit. But we all know there's both a crime and a crime perception problem, and there's both an education and an education perception problem. And that's why, you know, we really, you know, there have been some chiefs in the past who did not want to be held accountable for the crime rate because they were afraid of what would happen if it didn't go down. Well, you know, all that's stripped bare now, and that's how this mayor and the next mayors after it will be held accountable. And so there's certainly going to be a motivated mayor, a motivated chief, and a motivated command staff to keep it going down.
It really is important that the relationship between the mayor and the chief now be a really, really good one. One senses that certainly that's the way it appears right now.
You remember Chief Dotson worked in the mayor's office for a year and a half. So not only did the mayor build a good relationship with him, but he got to see what kind of a manager he was. And from the chief's point of view, he now fully understands all of the operations of city government. And so, you know, last winter when the shootings got out of control in College Hill neighborhood, not only did the chief hold roll call there and increase the number of officers there, he also had the forestry division come in and clean up some of the messes and the problem properties team come in and shut down some rundown homes and that sort of thing. The chief fully has – not only does he have a good relationship with the mayor, but he understands because he was the operations director for a year and a half, he understands how it all fits together. hopefully the next chief will have, and of course Sam just became chief, so not anytime soon, but hopefully the next chief will have that same kind of understanding of all of the aspects of city government, so the next chief, as this chief is doing, can take advantage of that to not only make neighborhoods safer, but you know, really create places where the private sector wants to invest, because at the end of the day, that's really what's lacking in some of our neighborhoods.
Speaking of neighborhoods, one of the issues that pops up not only in this city but other cities is that in certain neighborhoods, the police are unwelcome. They're not thought of as the friends of the neighborhoods. That takes place here in certain neighborhoods. Is that likely to change under the new streamlining whole different setup?
Well, again, I think that the department is going to be more accountable both for making crime go down and for its relationship with the citizens of St. Louis. And there was always that little disconnect because it was a state agency. And the department could either choose to have a good relationship with everybody in every neighborhood, or it could choose to ignore it. Clearly, they didn't go out of their way to be difficult, but they may not go out of their way. You know, there's a thing that Joe Reagan at the RCGA talks about being purposefully inclusive, and I think this department has to be purposefully sensitive to the people in our high crime neighborhoods who, on the one hand, want something done about the criminals, the gun-toting criminals and the thugs, but on the other hand, because of historic reasons, have a sense of distrust about the police department. There's really only one way to solve that, and that is for police officers and the brass to get to know the people in the neighborhoods, to know the good people from the bad people, and get out of their cars. And I think that is clearly something that this chief understands and will pursue. If the next chief doesn't understand that, certainly the mayor and the public safety director and the citizens of St. Louis can make sure that he or she understands
that. No question it's been a problem, though, in the past, this disconnect.
Well, it's a problem in every city, because look at, you know, how historically, not lately, but in the 50s, 60s, and maybe even into the 70s, the police department was used as an oppressive force, not as a force to go in and make people feel safe. And so, you know, especially obviously African Americans, especially older African Americans, rightly so, I think, have a mixed relationship with the department. On the one hand, they, you know, in some of our neighborhoods, they depend on the police more than other folks do in other neighborhoods. But on the second hand, they've got that history where the police department, police officers weren't always looking out for their self-interest or their best interest. And I think that, you know, to me, fighting crime in high crime neighborhoods is like a covenant between the people, the law-abiding citizens, and the police department. And there should be an expectation on both. For the law-abiding citizens, they need to go out of their way to tell the police what's going on. And for their part, the police got to get out of their car. They need to know the people. They need to explain to them what they're doing, why they're doing it, and they need to have a relationship there. And they also need to be held accountable. And so, you know, not just in St. Louis, but in cities across America, that takes a lot of effort, and it's not just going to happen. That's why you have the police chief and the brass are going to have to be intentional about it, and I think this chief gets it.
What is this transition committee going to be doing? I understand that a group has been formed to, I don't want to say iron out wrinkles, but I suppose what it's going to do is kind of take a look at the way this is being structured.
Really, it is more of an administrative function. It's a requirement under state law, and part of the reason it was in there is the police officers, the initiative petition that the voters approved last November was really patterned under a couple of state House and state Senate bills in Jefferson City. And in the House and the Senate, the Police Officers Association wanted something in there to reassure them that what happened going forward, that their interests would be protected. Now, they've been protected in another way, but this is still in the law. We've appointed the task force. There's five people on it, but really their only function is to make sure that the administrative functions during the transition run smoothly. They will not be taking votes or making policy.
One final question, that is, there have been some attempts between the city and St. Louis County to police departments to work more closely together and consolidate some particular parts of their service. Is this change likely to impact that at all in any way?
It'll make it a lot easier for the city of St. Louis to do that. And in fact, the mayor and the county executive have had discussions about things like, wouldn't it be nice, and we've heard this especially from on the county side, wouldn't it be nice if police officers were deputized in both jurisdictions so that our officers could go into St. Louis County and they could come into the city and do law enforcement enforcement functions. You know, we have discussed for a very long time combining police academies. We tried to combine the crime lab, and that was a really Mayor Slay's idea, but he really couldn't get the city side really enthused about it, which made it very difficult to get the county side enthused. And now you got all the rigmarole going on in St. Louis County. So I think by having, you know, really having the chief report directly to the public safety director and the mayor with a without this 4 or 5 member police board as the middleman, I think it will make that sort of consolidation where it makes sense, make it a lot easier and smoother.
All right. Well, it's been a long time in coming, needless to say, Jeff Rainford, but here we are. Let's see what happens next.
Yeah, it was so long in coming that you and I weren't even Cub TV reporters when it happened 152 years ago, although sometimes it does seem like
it does.
We were around covering it back then.
It does indeed. Jeff Rainford, thank you so much.
Don, I appreciate it.
And that was Jeff Rainford, Chief of Staff for St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay. We'll be back in just a moment to talk about disaster preparedness in St. Louis. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU.